Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, verses 41 through 52. Listen for God's word to you this morning. Now, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and among their friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all of these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. By the breath of your Spirit, inspire us, that in the hearing of your word we may be filled with new understanding and fresh desire to please you in all that we do, for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This is the Sunday after Christmas, which means, technically, it's still Christmas. You know the 12 days of Christmas? This is part of them. After weeks of waiting and anticipating the birth of Christ, the church calendar gives us some time to revel in the excitement of a newborn, the mystery of the presence of God. That God became human and lived in our midst, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, is truly remarkable and not to be rushed past. We need some time to let this soak in. Through the birth of Jesus, we see the glory of God with our own eyes. A miracle that startles and even shocks us into the deepest of praise. Every year, it's our custom to celebrate, to feast, to give, and to try to experience or feel something special this time of year. And so year after year, we go through the Advent ritual of preparing, of waiting, of lighting candles, of singing, "O come, O come, Emmanuel." And finally, at Christmas, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Year after year. These things are part of our customs. In the passage from Luke's Gospel, Mary and Joseph take part in an annual custom of making a pilgrimage from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. It's an important holiday for Jews and something Mary and Joseph and their child celebrate every year, just as we do the feast of Christmas. with anything that we do time and time again, like our customs and our traditions, there's a possibility of them becoming a little bit mundane, a little bit rote. It's actually a little unsettling how easy it is to lose track of the awe and the wonder, the sacredness of the season. Maybe you've found yourself saying something like, "It really doesn't feel like Christmas yet." Year after year, we turn to our traditions and our rituals, our Christmas decorations, our special foods, expecting or hoping or assuming that they will provoke a feeling that we remember once having. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's fleeting. Sometimes it doesn't happen, maybe for years. Mary and Joseph and the 12-year-old Jesus are winding down the holiday season of Passover. They had traveled with many friends and relatives from their home in Nazareth to Jerusalem, where the temple was, for the celebration. The city was full of Jewish people from all over making the required pilgrimage. Jerusalem was already the biggest city in the region that most people could fathom, and now it has swelled in size with the pilgrims. Imagine Athens, Georgia, on game day. The Passover is the week-long Jewish feast mandated by holy law to remember the day when Israelites came out of slavery in Egypt, in the day when God killed all of the firstborns in the land of Egypt, but the Spirit of the Lord passed over the homes of the Israelites. It was a time filled with joy and thankfulness for God's care of God's people. You can imagine the spirit of the season in the city, this homecoming of sorts, friends and family who only see each other once a year, gathered together, the smells of the season wafting through the streets, unleavened bread cooking, lamb being grilled, bunches of bitter herbs hanging from the market stalls, all parts of the special rituals and traditions of the season. Mary, Joseph, and their son Jesus are there. They are always there. Every year they go. They never miss. See, Mary and Joseph are a particularly devout Jewish couple. The beginning of Luke's gospel details how Jesus' parents do all that is required of them in their religious tradition, and then some. This Passover pilgrimage is a perfect example. See, it was only required of men to make the annual trip. But Luke tells us that Mary went every year as well, and she brought her child. They go over and beyond what is expected. They remind me of folks we all know who are in church every time the doors are open. The first ones to volunteer to help out in the community, to make meals for the youth and the college students and the men at Journey, the homebound, the sick, and those with new babies. They greet new people and then they help include them in the community. They go on mission trips. They work hard right here. It's part of their custom. It's part of who they are, like Mary and Joseph and their son Jesus, who was probably an active member of the youth group. Going as a family every year on the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, like those who are here nearly every Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, Christmas Eve, the Sunday after Christmas. They are like very many of you here who worked so hard during Advent and Christmas to make the season at Morningside so special, and who are integral to the mission of Jesus Christ in and through this community and beyond, day after day, week after week, year after year. There are some days yet remaining in the Christmas season, but it is clearly winding down, just as the holiday season was for Mary and Joseph in this particular story of the boy Jesus. In this story, families and neighbors were saying their goodbyes, packing up their bags. Jerusalem city workers were taking down strings of lights that lined the streets. The temple worship committee were packing up the special decorations. Mary and Joseph are joining their family and their neighbors for the long walk home. Jesus is a 12-year-old boy. A 12-year-old boy. Sweet little baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, is now a tween. Christmas was just 5 days ago, and he was laying down his sweet head asleep on the hay. Cattle are lowing all over the place. And when he used to wake up, remember how little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. These things Mary treasured in her heart as she marched her now 12-year-old son the 90 miles back to Nazareth from Jerusalem. Teens and almost teens out there, Jesus knows where you are. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, caregivers, Mary and Joseph know. They know the joy, but they also know the moments of great anxiety, I think is how Mary puts it. This is the only gospel narrative with a story of a young Jesus. Perhaps Mark, Matthew, and John found this little glimpse at the messiness of the Messiah's growing up years too hard to square with a very grown-up public ministry of Jesus. To all elementary, middle, and high schoolers, I say, Luke has got your back. You have a voice here. Jesus didn't just go from being an adored little baby to a full-grown preacher, teacher, and miracle worker overnight. Jesus was fully human. That means he lived a fully human life. A baby, a toddler, a little kid, a middle schooler, a high schooler, and a young adult. Here in this story, God made flesh means God made pre-adolescent. Luke tells us that the Nazareth coalition were making their way home after the festival and had already traveled for a full day before Mary and Joseph noticed that they had left a pretty important part of their family behind. There are often two ways that this story is viewed. Mary and Joseph are portrayed as distracted, preoccupied, or irresponsible, as it's hard for us Western moderns to imagine that we could leave our child in a major city and not realize it for an entire day. The other is to view Jesus as precocious, yet rebellious, inconsiderate, lippy even, when his parents finally find him in the temple searching Jerusalem for three days. Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house? I'm sure it's not hard to imagine that exchange. The text says that Mary and Joseph did not understand what he said to them. Perhaps that's because Mary was in the process of climbing out of her skin at that little quip from her definitely not yet grown child. Well, I think there is comfort to be gained in seeing the humanity of the Jesus household. I think we also run the risk of trivializing Luke's decision to include this, the only view we have of a young Jesus. A deeper gospel truth is awkwardly revealed through these messianic growing pains. Mary and Joseph traveled for a whole day before they realized Jesus was not with them. Can you imagine what that must have been like as they searched the group and did not find him? They headed back to Jerusalem, another day's journey. though maybe less, as I can imagine them running at times, stumbling over rocks, desperate to get back to the city to find their child. Once they make it back to Jerusalem, they searched all day, maybe all night, then another day, then another. Were they able to sleep? Could they eat? They searched Jerusalem for 3 days. 3 agonizing days. What thoughts must have passed through their minds? And then after 3 days, a total of 5 days missing, they found him in the temple. He's there, alive, safe, surrounded by religious teachers, listening to them, asking questions, trying out his own 12-year-old answers, amazing them with his understanding. And Mary says, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." This narrative is odd, but the action and the conflict in this story of a small, devout Jewish family is not to be quickly passed over. It comes to us in the Christmas season. The incarnation, the feast of Christmas, is not just about little baby Jesus. It is about all that it means for God to take on human flesh. The often painful tensions and conflicts of humanity and divinity. This little story in Luke gives life to this conflict played out in a very real Jewish family in first century Palestine. It makes real and concrete the profoundness and the messiness of the incarnation through the lens of human parents, the human parents of Emmanuel, God with us. We are all too aware of the rough edges of life, and the Christmas story, the story of God made flesh, must touch every part of our existence. This Christmas story, the story of the Messiah at age 12, with an earthly mother and father, whose names were Mary and Joseph, holds our hearts and minds in the Christmas season, but pushes us beyond the manger, into the growing pains of this very devout Jewish boy before he becomes the sojourning rabbi, the man from Galilee. Embedded in this story are the roots of the greatest love story ever told, a love story that is staggering to everybody in the whole world, that God loves us a lot, so much that he became one of us in order to know every part of us, including what it is to be a 12-year-old boy, fiercely loved by his mother and father. In this season of ritual and traditions, of customs, of year after years, sometimes we forget the roots of this story. And not just the reason for the season, but the true, honest roots of our life as broken human beings wrapped up in the love and grace of a God that lived and died for us. Mary and Joseph, as devout and faithful as they are, they lose track in the midst of the holiday. Even those who do so much for this Morningside community, who serve in so many ways, are liable to get caught up in all that needs to be done, all that is required. Mary and Joseph all packed up, head back, but they leave Jesus behind. And so do we, often. Here in this story of the boy Jesus lie the roots of our very relationship with God and a very human pattern, the messiness and the beauty of it all. See, if we pay attention to the verbs in this passage, we can see it, that the action of Mary and Joseph and the boy Jesus are the actions of all humanity in relationship to God. Mary and Joseph pack up and start to return to go back. But Jesus does not go back. He stays. But they did not know it. As we pack up boxes of decorations and throw away Christmas trees and move on, we head home, back to life as usual. Even those who seem so close to Jesus, even those as close as his mother and father, lose track of him. We often do not know what we are missing, just that we are missing something. And when we begin to search, we do not know what we are searching for. We just search for something to fill the gap. When we realize that we have somehow lost track of Jesus, we may seek to find him in all of the wrong places, like Mary and Joseph, first in the familiar places where we assume he might be. Mary and Joseph search the holy city for 3 days. Where do we search? What familiar places do we assume he will be? See, searching is a big part of this story. The verb is used 4 times. The searching causes a great anxiety in us, as it does Mary and Joseph. But all along, he is just where he is supposed to be, in God's house, in the kingdom of God. Why all of this searching? Jesus poses the question to his parents. But in this gospel, in this good news, the 12-year-old boy is posing the very same question to us. Why are you searching for me? You know where to find me. You'll find me at work, bringing about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is in our midst, only we don't often see it on account of all of our searching in the wrong places because of our sin. But the good news is this, that Jesus finds us while we are wandering all over. He comes to us. In this same city of Jerusalem where he will be killed several years later, the disciples lose track of Jesus. After 3 days of him missing in that city, after 3 days of him being dead, Mary's greatest fear. They search for him where they assume he will be, in the tomb where they laid his body. But he's not there. Jesus finds them, wandering around aimlessly down the road, and he finds us. Why were you searching for me? Did you not know you would find me active in the world, at one with the poor, the broken, the lonely, the sick, the victims of violence and oppression? Did you not know that you would find me right here, right next to you, listening to your life, asking you questions, astonishing you with the answers, the answer of yes. Yes, I love you. Yes, I chose you. Yes, I have saved you. This is the staggering love story. This is the good news of the gospel. This is God made flesh for us, even as a 12-year-old boy. And this is the miracle of Christmas. Amen.